Jesus was, in his own lifetime, and then after the resurrection, he was a deeply disconcerting figure. He was a subversive figure. And so I want to recover that.
At a certain point, after his emergence on the public scene, Jesus traveled with his disciples to the far northern reaches of the Promised Land, to the region of Caesarea Philippi, near the present-day Golan Heights. Today, one can see the ruins of a temple to the god Pan that stood on this site in Jesus' day. It was here that he asked them a very peculiar question. And that question was, who do people say that I am? Jesus didn't ask, what do people think of my teaching? Or what impression am I making? Reasonable enough questions. He asked, who do people say that I am? It'd be hard to imagine another great religious founder asking such a question. The Buddha wouldn't focus on himself, and I say it to his credit. He would say, there's a way I've discovered, I want you to know it. Muhammad wouldn't focus on himself, he'd say, there's a revelation I've received, I want you to know it. Confucius wouldn't say it's about me, he'd say it's about this path that I found. Then there's Jesus. His question is, who do you say that I am? The whole gospel really hinges on this point. Jesus' identity personally is what it's about. Because throughout the gospels, he consistently speaks and acts in the very person of God. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, unless you love me more than your very life, more than your mother and father, you're not worthy of me. You might imagine a religious teacher saying, unless you love God more than your very life. But to say, unless you love me more than the highest goods in the world? Jesus says to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. Right away, the bystanders say, who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Now, here's the point. Jesus compels a choice the way no other religious founder does. Either you're with me, he said, or you're against me. Do you see why? If he is who he says he is, then we have to give our whole life to him. If he is God, then he must be the center of our lives. If he's not who he says he is, he's not a good man. He's a dangerous, misguided fanatic. Jesus, more than any other figure, more than any other religious founder, compels us to make a choice. There are a lot of people in human history who are messengers of God, who bear the presence of God, whether it's mystics or philosophers or teachers. Jesus is not a person who bears God's presence. He's the person who is God. And see, it makes all the difference because no matter how wise a guru is, no matter how insightful a philosopher is, he or she is still in the same mess that I'm in. No matter how wise they are, they're still caught in all the limitations of sin and so on. We need someone to come definitively from without that system to save us from it. So Jesus is in the world, but not of the world. If he's one more philosopher, to heck with him. There are a million of those. He's the person who is God, and that's why he can save us. There's a strange passage in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel that's rarely commented upon. Jesus and his disciples are making their way from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south. Mark says this, and they were going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. This obscure fragment is, I think, very telling. One might be intrigued by a religious teacher. One might be captivated by a spiritual leader. But amazed and afraid? Then we recall that in the Old Testament, awe and fear are two standard responses to God.
Having grasped this uniqueness of Jesus, we can begin to look at his preaching and action with greater understanding. He was God in the flesh, Yahweh moving among his people. Jesus is strange. You know, I'm going to resist the tendency to domesticate him and turn him into, he's like, an ancient Deepak Chopra. You know, he had interesting spiritual insights, and the gospel writers told these kind of cool stories to exemplify that. I think he was strange. And so people say they were amazed and afraid. I don't think anyone's really amazed and afraid of Deepak Chopra. They might find him insightful and helpful, but I doubt they're amazed and afraid. But when someone takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000, that's a little scary. And I think if we domesticate Jesus too much, we take away that dimension from him. They were intensely interested in the fact that Jesus drove out demons, that he performed miracles, that he healed people, even like the calming of the storm at sea. When that's over, they say, who is this? Who is this man who can calm the... I mean, they knew all about spiritual gurus. They all had rabbis and teachers and insightful people. But he was so far beyond that. Who is this who's calming the sea?